Welcome, welcome to the Black AF1 Pod. I'm your host, Roy, and my extremely happy, giddy, excited today co-host,
Raina! I'm like actually on a vibe today, guys. Like I'm so excited to do this with you guys today. Like after this Canadian Grand Prix, like it's been a good week for me. My depression kind of took a back burner from everything. It's just been all around a really positive week. I got really good feedback from last week's episode. Like everything has just been so like, everything's like kind of ticking into place and clicking and everything's just going so well. And I'm just so happy. And Circuit Gilles Villeneuve is like my second favorite circuit. Actually, no, third favorite circuit on the calendar. After Suzuka, babe, like y'all are not ready for the excitement I'm going to bring when we're recording a Suzuka episode because it's gonna be unreal. I've missed Suzuka so much. Interlagos is my second, and Gilles Villeneuve is my third. But obviously, we've not been to Suzuka in Canada since the pandemic, so like it's an extra level of excitement being back here where Lewis won his first race, and like yeah. I don't know, like. The nostalgia, everything's just perfect right now. Literally, like I can literally just hear in my head as this week is that I could just hear, if he could do this after six races, what could he do in the future? And it's so sweet. It's so sweet. Because yeah. Obviously, like Lewis's career was like unprecedented, and it's still unprecedented. Nobody's done what he's done. It's pretty epic.
He's and unequaled.
Okay. Did Max...
No, it was a joke. It was a joke.
No, I know. Right. I was responding to the joke. Like I remember, like, obviously, Lewis was on the podium for his first nine races, and his 10th race was the European Grand Prix, and he had kind of, like, a stinker. Like, he ended up ninth, but obviously, back in the days, ninth was, like, off the points.
Yeah.
But, like, and I obviously, off the points, off the podium, and he was, like, where am I supposed to go? Because he did not know, like, Parc Fermé rules outside of the podium. And, like, oh. And for me, a lot of it, I actually cried at the end of this race because a lot of it for me was seeing the happiness in his eyes, especially after, like, the issues last weekend with the backache and everything. And then, like, how Friday was just a shit show and, like, the off-camera moment we saw with him being vulnerable and just, like, the car being awful and him just going, this is the worst car like I've ever driven around here, and it's like pretty much undrivable. Like getting that podium was so, and getting that podium on merit, really, like
yeah,
he didn't get any luck going. Obviously Perez DNF'd, but like Perez wasn't ahead of him in quali mm-hmm. anyways, neither was Charles, so like nobody ahead of him from grid to checkered flag had to retire or anything, and his yeah. pace was really good, and like he showed Russell levels, like everything was just clicking into place. And I know I'm kind of rushing into it, but yeah, I just needed to give those initial thoughts before I like breathe because I'm just so happy.
Yeah, no it was nice to be in Canada, and then I was super sad that I wasn't able to because originally I wanted to go.
Yeah, Roy had wanted to go, but obviously Canada had issues with like available ticketing this year because they hadn't been in 2019 and they had sold tickets in 2020 and they had sold tickets. Same thing last year. So like there was like a carryover of tickets. So the available tickets to be sold for people who wanted to go this year was so little because everybody from like last year and the year before were going. So it was mad.
And on top of that, like Lewis had a really good weekend. So it was like, it wasn't even like, oh, just missed going to F1 race. It's like, oh, missing Lewis kind of having a really nice chart and getting a podium. Yeah. So, but no, it was
him overtaking Alonso was like the cherry on top of the
yes. season.
I was
yes.
like, hey, that's my baby. My baby.
Yeah. So
love Lewis so much.
Before we get into this race, because it was a very exciting race. There's just one bit of news I want to talk about, and it's not even really a bit of news. We're just going to kind of poo-poo on him a little bit, and then we're going to get into it, because it was an exciting race. Is just Christian Horner. I must mention this vile person I think earlier this week he was saying how the FIA shouldn't be changing rules just to help one team, as if for the past how many years he hasn't been directly lobbying for the FIA specifically to hurt whatever innovations that Mercedes had done. And if we even go back to DOS, like, it literally directly was like, hey, stop, they did something really good. And it's not that what Christian Horner was doing before is necessarily wrong or bad, because that's what he's supposed to do. That's literally his job. But him trying to pretend that, oh, FIA can't go around doing this, when A, that's literally what the FIA can do, and then also B, it's what he's always tried to do, just makes him look like a disingenuous dickhead. And I had to say it, because I don't like the man. And anyone who ever tries to say that Toto and Christian Horner are the same is either lying or stupid.
Yeah, I forgot that happened, to be honest. I was very much irritated with Christian and Love this weekend, just because I felt like I heard a bit of him a bit too much, because literally every single time, like on the Sky broadcast, they would be like, and now Christian in the garage. I'm like, Jesus Christ, does this man not have an actual job? Why is he always on the broadcast giving his unsolicited opinion that us viewers are really not interested in?
I mute every time.
With Red Bull and Horner, I feel like a lot of their personality is rooted in hypocrisy, because they're always very much like, oh, this, like they didn't behave in the exact same way just like a cough and a breath ago. Like, literally, they never... Oh, they're so frustrating. Like, it's exhausting, like, having... Because it's one thing to have, like, logical, like, opponents. And it's another thing to have just, like, absolutely stupid, ignorant... There's not a single thing that goes right with Horner and his little crowd and his little posse.
No. Like,
it's very frustrating.
Yeah, so I just wanted to mention that and at least make sure he got just a little negative energy, because I don't understand why people will so blatantly and obviously lie and be hypocritical, especially on things that, like, we have a paper trail. Like, it's not like he did this once before. Like, you've been on video many, many times.
Okay, FBI, Rosen, we have a paper trail. Okay. Special like, agent Rim Wallet on the case. The paper following the paper trail.
But yeah, so anywho. So, as we go, let's get into some more exciting, the actual action of
Sergio Villeneuve. I feel like Canada races never fail to disappoint. There's always something, even if it's not a lot. Like, I wouldn't say this is like the most exciting race, but like, I feel like the wet qualifying really helped the race, because a lot of people were like, obviously there was like huge rain like on Saturday, but obviously I would say like concerning the wet quality, the most surprising thing was probably the pace of the Aston Martins in free practice 3. I don't know. You were obviously still in New York then.
So yeah.
Bro went to New York without me.
Oh.
It was like
that did happen.
The pace of Aston Martins in free practice 3 compared to their pace in quali. Like, it was so shocking. Like, I'm obviously on the timeline, I'm like slandering Vettel, but like, it wasn't just Vettel's skill or lack thereof. It was like a genuine like shock of like, where did their pace go? Like,
yeah.
And Uncle, what's going on? A little Sasquatch is complaining. What's going on? But no, yeah, I think that's like the main thing that happened kind of in quali. Obviously, Zhou, our qualified Bottas. Hashtag one, you. Okay.
He's doing his dang thing.
Why do these commentators call Zhou Zoo? Like, Zoo, like, I don't know, Paul de Resta won, and like, I think Ted, don't know how to say his name. They call him Zoo, and I'm like, Who are you talking about? The first time they said it, I was like, who are you talking about? Who's Zoo? Who are you talking about? Like, it's so odd. Like, isn't that your job as, like, a broadcaster or whatever, like, in this sport, to at least learn everybody's name?
Yeah. Or at least if you're going to, like, say somebody's name incorrectly, at least let it be, like, an accent thing. And not like a
just butchering.
I'm not trying. Yeah, because at that point, you're not even trying. Zoo, like, Joe, you can make, they can make that sound. that is not. So, yeah, no, that's kind of interesting. But, yeah, no, Joe, he's been doing the darn thing.
Like, obviously, like, second consecutive race where he's, like, a qualified Bottas. So, that's pretty good for him.
Yeah.
And we
know Bottas is a good qualifier.
Yeah.
So
okay, yeah. Not in the where. Like, just before the qualifying started, like, someone was doing, like, a ranking of, like, top wet weather racers, and they had, like, Lewis, Max.
Bottas is not one of them.
And then they had, like, Bottas, Perez, Vettel or something like, and I was like, Bottas and Perez. Like, literally, I was like, this is, like, even before quali started, I was like, Bottas and Perez, question mark. And even they wouldn't agree with you. Like,
yeah.
Like, literally, one thing about, like, every teammate Lewis has had in Mercedes before George is in the wear, like, Rosberg and Bottas, 0%. They cannot do anything in the wear. Oh, Lord. Lord. Nah.
But, yeah, no, qualifying was very interesting. And then on top of that, George had
which I guess is the main talking point of quali, like, from the top of the grid was, like, George thought his witch doctors that he has been powering him through this entire season with his good luck will carry him with a slick tire, like, that was clearly a wet turn one and a wet turn two. Honestly, yeah, I don't actually think that, like, going slicks was the wrong choice. I don't think it was, like, a far out choice for anybody else but George, Max, and Alonso and Sainz. Because they were the four people who were, like, in contention for, like, front row slots. Everybody else, it was kind of like, I have nothing to lose, so might as well. If Lewis had gone for, like, because obviously the setup Lewis had was kind of deficient in the wets. So if he or, like, Ocon, Ricardo, Joe, whoever, went for, like, the slicks and was kind of like, ooh, gamble, I would have understood.
Yeah.
But George going for it when he clearly had the pace for P2, I was like, bro, that is the dots you're trying to connect are not connecting for me. The math isn't mathing. Like, I just think he got a bit too cocky. Did you see his, like, post-quali interview?
No,
when he was,
no,
like,
I didn't.
Where his post-quali interview, he was like, yeah, you know, he obviously, because he went into the war, like, turn one, and then he was like, yeah, but even that, he was like only 4/10 behind, like, P4, and, like, he thinks he could have, which is obviously where Lewis went. He was basically throwing shade, and I was just, and obviously a lot of the TL people were like, oh, I don't like George anymore. I was like, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. They were like, oh, it's looking like I'm not gonna be, like, Team Mercedes anymore. I'm like, welcome. We welcome all our new members gratefully.
Yeah.
Come and let us be haters together. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see that. It doesn't really change how I feel about him because I'm not pro or anti.
Yeah,
George,
I don't think you're not really, yeah.
Like, I don't really, like, if he does well, good job. If he does poorly, like, I don't lose any sleep. Like, okay. I just want Lewis to do well. That's really how I feel.
As we are recording this right now, guys, this is a live transmission. Alonso has received a 5-second penalty for weaving on the track and is down to P9 from P2 on the grid. Can I say in the mud, ladies and gentlemen? In the mud.
I was gonna bring that up once.
Yeah,
we got
no, literally,
to it, but
that's just the notif just came up on my phone, and there's already people in my DMs going, by the way, Alonso's in the mud, and I'm just like,
oh, yeah.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Like, thank you. But no, I love to see Alonso fail. Like, it gives me a little bit of dopamine, you know, like, I just inject some. It's like doing drugs. You just feel so happy.
Yeah.
without doing the actual drugs.
So yeah, as we switch now from qualifying into the main one, then we'll just go straight into Alpine and Alonso.
Yeah.
But what's your three-word race review?
It's about damn time. And I know that's four, but that's it. It's about damn time.
Yeah. It is. Mine was...
Oh, side note. That's what I'm naming the episode. It's about that.
There you go. Don't forget it. And then mine would be...
I need you to remind me. Yes, I'm going to forget.
What mine is more pace signs.
The thing is, yeah, I actually think Sainz had pace. He just couldn't.
He needed more.
Execution. Is it that he needed more or he just needed to not be Sainz? I think his execution was poor. Like,
if
at
he
this
didn't
point,
have poor
he needed.
Execution, just get more
he needs,
pace.
Obviously,
then.
He needs to. Yeah, I guess what I get what you mean. Because, like, bruh, like, he was like within 5 tenths,
yes.
I feel like at the beginning of the DRS zone, if you're within 5 tenths, that's a decent amount for you to be able to overtake. But honestly, for me, I feel that if we're going to jump before we start discussing Alpine straight away, I think Sainz's issue and result was on Ferrari. We can discuss that later, but I think I blame Ferrari, not Sainz.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Anyways, Alonso. And guys, I have two words for you. I have only two words. Like, I'm not that kind of person who gloats when my enemies are suffering. Like, that's just not my personality. My person, I'm a very logical person. I analyze the data and I speak very critically on what is going on the track. Mm-hmm. Two words for you guys. Esty bestie!
there you are.
Bestie, bestie.
He did good. Once again.
Esty bestie did good. He did good. Obviously, quali pace. And obviously, I feel like it's a very difficult thing to be able to qualify Alonso because
he's
a two-time world champion. But the thing about this is, like, when you have the opportunities, you need to take them.
And he's been taking all of them. There has not been an opportunity Esteban has seen.
Yes.
All of them. All of them.
Esty Bestie is now having 39 points.
I love it.
Alonso has 22. And that's like, I think that's before they like ship today's points even.
Yeah.
Because this is like a screenshot I took earlier. So.
What is it, a time penalty that he got?
Got a 5 second time penalty, so that moves him from seventh to now. He goes behind.
He's out of points, right?
No, he's still on points. He goes behind the Alfa Romeos, so behind Bottas and Zhou.
Okay, and they
he goes into ninth. They were eighth and ninth. He was seventh.
Yeah.
So they go into ninth. But I think interesting was obviously Alonso later had issues in the race, but I think his strategy was very poorly executed. Like, I understood why he didn't, like, pit in the first VSC.
Yeah.
But why didn't he pit in the second? It was giving James vowels. It was giving consonants. Like,
it didn't make any sense.
They were really like, it's going to be Alonso on vibes, inshallah. Inshallah on vibes. Like, I did not understand their strategy.
I didn't listen to the team... audios, but I feel like at that point he should have called an audible and been like, hey, yo.
No, I watched his post-race interview and he said like he was like in agreement with like his team
to not do it,
the strategy decisions that we made.
Okay,
because
so then
Rachel asked him like, did you think blah 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 blah, and then he goes, yeah, I agreed with, like, because at that point he gave like a silly excuse that I just
So then there we go. So then it's not even the team, it's him. He's just
both
a stupid.
Of them.
He's just a stupid.
Exactly.
So he deserved it. So what he's where he is because of himself. At first I almost wanted, but I will not feel bad for him. But I almost wanted to feel bad for him because, like, oh wow, he really could have done better. But his team kind of like screwed the pooch. Nope. He was an accomplice on that. And so he gets what he gets. So Alcon, once again, and he had the nerve to get mad at the team for not letting him beat pass Ocon at the end when they gave the team orders to stay.
He was, yeah. He was like,
You put yourself there.
The thing is, he didn't even say, for me, what was really cocky from him, he didn't even say, I have better pace now. He said, I have had better pace the whole weekend. Who cares about the whole weekend? Yes. As F1 pundits like to remind us, and Mercedes Twitter accounts, points are given on a Sunday. So I don't care what you've done the whole weekend. Like, he's like, I've had 100 times more pace though. I'm like, yo. Clearly, this is where Max Verstappen learned his whining from. Because, bruh, shut the fuck up. I have no interest in what you have to say.
No, it was a good weekend. Alonso somehow continues to screw himself over. And that's great. We love to see it. Yes. Alfa Romeo, we talked a little bit about Zhou during kind of talking about quali, but in main race day as well.
Like, obviously, he ended up behind Bottas, but that was just kind of safety car kind of screwed him over. Like, Bottas got lucky with the safety car, but still, he held on to Bottas like the last 15 laps after the safety car, whatever. He finished like less than 2 seconds behind Valtteri. Like, I'm very, like, I would be one to admit when I'm wrong. And I didn't, you know, like, obviously you don't watch Junior Series, but you know from me that I don't rate Joe. So for me to backtrack and say he has been performing well, and obviously this is his first points finish since Bahrain.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But he has had decent performances. Like, this is just when the things have aligned. The thing is, when you're in a bottom team, things just have to align for points.
Yeah.
And, like, everything has kind of aligned for him today. And he took advantage. Obviously, he got lucky a bit with, like, he got stuck behind Stroll for the longest time because of, like, the strategy that Stroll was on. Stroll Bottas were, like, obviously on the same go super long until, like, Jehovah comes to save you from your wolf, from your initial on the hard tire. And obviously, but I'm very impressed with the Joe. Like, I wasn't a fan of Joe in F2, but I would definitely say Prada Boy has converted me.
Yeah, no, he's doing really, like, genuinely very, very, very well. And the Haas were definitely racier than the Alfa Romeos this weekend.
Yes,
and he was really fighting with
the Haas. Kind of, obviously, they bottled the entire weekend. Like, I guess if we can move directly into the Haas and what they did, they obviously karma is such a sweet thing, because, you know, since K-Mag crashed into Lewis, he's not finishing the points. In fact, this is the first race where he's crossed the checkered flag and he came in dead last. Like, this is the first race.
And he tried, and he had contact with Lewis again.
When I say we serve a one true living God, and on a Sunday, the day of the Lord for y'all, it's not my day of the Lord, but it's y'all's day of the Lord and Lewis's day of the Lord, you cannot just come and fight us and expect that to be zero repercussion.
Repercussion. There you go. You got it.
Repercussions,
yes. Yes, ma'am.
You cannot expect there to be zero repercussions. Like, literally, since he did his fuckery in Monaco, it has been DNF, DNF. And today, 17th out of 17 drivers that finished. He finished behind Latifi. If that is not a sign from God that you need to beg for forgiveness.
Yes, he did.
I don't know what is. How are you finishing behind Latifi? And I don't know how he ended up behind Latifi, by the way.
I don't,
because even after his, like, whole changing everything shenanigans, he was ahead of Latifi. Because I remember texting someone and going, like, ew, Latifi first to be lapped. Who's surprised?
He must have gone to the pits again. I don't know. At that point, these days, I don't pay attention to, like, the bottom five much unless there's actually cool fights happening. Really, like,
if you're not competing for points, I don't know you. I don't know who you are. Like, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me.
Yeah.
I think we should move into, like, AlphaTauri, who have had a dreadful week. Oh, Lord. Like, I didn't even see them on track, by the way. Like, obviously, Tsunoda had his
his things.
Penalties. And then in the race, he decided to transform into 2021 version of Tsunoda. and just drive into the, like, I was like, bro, where are you going? Your tires are clearly cold. I don't understand why you're attacking the corner with that much vim. He literally
and he wasn't even in danger of being passed by another car. Like,
nothing was happening. He was on his own. He had just come out of the pit lane. And I was like,
yeah, no car was coming in and he was just trying to get ahead of him. He just was somewhere else. Like, he just completely just missed the ball. That's going to be a tough conversation. Hopefully the damage looked pretty bad, but hopefully it's not too expensive to fix. Cause that's one of those things that it's like, hey, crash is going to happen. But in the cost cap era, like, you can't be doing
obviously that. Like, Mick is not crashing anymore because Gutter has warned him. So now he's just driving uber slow because he's just kind of like, that happened with Mazepin last year. After he had shitty couple races at the beginning of the season, and like, Gutter was like, yo, get your shit together. He just started driving extremely slow. So they're like,
yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, we don't rate Mazepin highly, but as Reina has told me from his time in F2, Mazepin was never an excellent driver, but he definitely wasn't like absolutely talentless. So coming into F1 because of his very, very, and I put it very mildly, poor life choices, he came in as a very hated person. He had no confidence, and his initial bad performances further continue to kill that confidence to the point where he just can't perform anymore, right? And that I feel like Mick, since he has a full support, and I mean, also Mazepin had no support from his team, but since Mick has full support of his team, like, we see moments where he has some, I almost said greatness, some really good performances. I know, right? Exactly. Those eyes tell everything. That's why I had to stop myself. I took it back. We see moments where Mick has some moments of really good performance, but then it also disappears just as quickly as it comes.
It's not consistent enough for a Formula One driver.
It's not even consistent is even a too strong word, you know. So he's learning. K-Mag is putting it to him. I don't know. Again, I don't know if K-Mag is probably the best type of teacher, because K-Mag is honestly just a mongoose. He just attacks and attacks and attacks. And I feel like after Spain, when he got knocked out, and did he get a penalty? He didn't get a penalty out of that, right? They ignored that. Yeah, they ignored it.
The thing with Lewis?
Spain. Yeah, they ignored it. Nothing happened. Nothing came
up. Not that I remember, so feel free to correct us. But I definitely don't remember.
So I feel like he's still being his overly aggressive self, but I think he's also realized, hey, if I have contact and I'm out of the race, like, that's a waste of my weekend. So I feel like, especially with, and Lewis did really well to not, in that moment, Lewis didn't back down in the slightest. He gave him no room to for his effery. So it was interesting, but I don't know. Haas is, they have a not terrible car. They have one driver who doesn't have the talent and the other driver who's overly aggressive. And so is not doing anything with the talent.
About how, like, Mick's performance yesterday in the quali was greatness, blah, 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 blah. And then they went on to say how, like, we're, like, overrating Joe's performance. And I'm like, Joe qualified his teammate, Bottas, who's, like, a multi-race winner. Like, fair enough, like, Bottas doesn't really do well in the wet. But still, he did it. And Mick was still behind K-Mag, by the way, in quali. Like, he was, like, 5 tenths behind K-Mag. And I'm like,
yeah.
The math isn't mathing. Anyways, we obviously got distracted, but like, Gasly had an absolutely dreadful weekend. He like obviously qualified 16th, and then off the starting line lost two places, and ended up like eight. No. He lost two places. Ended up 18th ahead of Tsunoda and Latifi, and I'm just like, bro, what's going on with you?
I forgot AlphaTauri was even a team today. Like, when you mentioned them for this race of you, I was like, oh.
Not I forgot they were a team.
When you mentioned them, I really thought, were they at this race? And then you mentioned, and then you said Tsunoda. I was like, oh yeah, I did see Tsunoda. But Pierre Gasly,
obviously he ended up retiring, no?
Yeah,
apparently he ended up finishing the race in 14th. Sorry. Oops.
Wow, imagine. Oops. Yeah, no, he had a dreadful weekend, and even worse, it was forgettable. I mean, I guess to a certain extent, being forgettable is better than dreadful, but
being remembered for your chaos.
Exactly. Like, Pierre Gasly had a forgettable weekend. Tsunoda had a dreadful weekend that will not be shortly forgotten. This is definitely something they're going to bring up again multiple times.
I will bring it up. I volunteer as tribute.
Like, they're gonna always bring it up at some point. Because when he did that, I immediately thought of when George was maybe it was Hungary when he was like swerving and the track kind of dipped down and he went into the wall, right? And he didn't live that down for a while. The announcers continued to bring that up for.
I don't understand, because it's not with the announcer. The fact that people have let George live down, the fact that in Imola 2020 he crashed under the safety car. If we had a bleep button, I would say my full name right now. We'll never let him live it down. How are you crashing under? That's Grosjean level bullshit, because you know Grosjean's done it as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was actually going to bring him up next because he did it in Baku.
Unacceptable behavior. Oh, Lord. But no, Aftauri, obviously, their weekend was a zero.
Yeah.
Aston Martin, who we kind of discussed at the beginning of the hour, but like, they need a whole last podcast dedicated to what happened to their pace.
I mean, you could, that would be a one-woman podcast, because I'm not
talking about for me. Oh, no. Sorry, I don't have that time. Not for me. Like, just in general, like, someone needs to do a whole ass podcast episode explaining what happened to their pace.
Yeah, they started off. Yeah, it's been interesting.
Interesting? Yeah? Okay. Apparently, obviously, Vettel is one of the best worst weather drivers of our generation.
Really?
Apparently. Can you list you, Roy, as like a, I guess I would call you a rookie fan. What is one wet weather masterclass from Sebastian Vettel that you remember?
Ma'am, I have no idea.
Exactly. Because the only one I know is Monza 2008. That's the only one I know. And that's because like he was in the Toro Rosso at the time. And that was an amazing performance. And he was like in his second year in F1, or like his year and a half, because he kind of did a bit in 2007, beginning of his career. It was weird. But literally, that's the only, obviously, where he got his win. And that was like Aftari's last win until like Gasly. And like, other than that, but they will continue to tell me that this man who on lap 52 of the German Grand Prix 2008, while in the lead on his own, while his championship contender opponent was starting in 14th, went into the gravel unprompted on his lonesome. Nobody paid him money. That is a worst weather driver of our generation. Somebody that this is your first chance to secure a championship since you had no wife and no children, and that's what you do. And you want me to take you seriously as a worst weather driver of our generation? Oh, Lord. God forbid, could not be my goat. Could not be Lewis, Carl, Davidson, Hamilton, Labalastier. I know I butchered that. Don't remind me. But that's all. Obviously, Stroll, it was his home race. Stroll drove a really good race.
Yeah, he had a good race. And he beat Vettel, so there's that too.
Your four-time world championship teammate. You beat him.
I think Stroll was 12th, if I remember correctly.
Obviously, Stroll went with the strategy of like the one.
No, I lied. Stroll was 10th.
He was 10th, obviously. But he went with like the 12th. Super long strategy of like going really long on the hards and then waiting until whatever luck came your way and then pitting. But what surprised me was the strategy Vettel was on, because he started on hards and he pitted after like 8 laps for new sets of hards. I don't know what's going on in that Aston Martin team, but Lawrence Stroll needs to flog some people.
Not you supporting a billionaire.
No, yeah, exactly. I don't even like them, but Lawrence needs to flog a couple of people to get their shit together. If you're going to be a billionaire, at least invest your money in the right things. Yeah, Aston Martin is clearly not the right thing.
I mean, he was all that money he spent. I just don't know how they recover. The Mercedes PU isn't the best, obviously. And their aero isn't very good either. And in this new kind of like regulatory like time of F1, like it's gonna be if you start off on the back foot, you're almost guaranteed to be on the back foot. So I don't know, we'll see. It'll be interesting. But as I said before, I'm not really paying attention to a lot of the bottom feeders, because I just don't find it interesting. I'll pay attention when they're having interesting battles where they're coming back and forth. But for the most part, watching Williams.
Did you say bottom or Haas, feeders?
Yeah. I mean, like last year, were you concerned with how Haas was doing? Like, no. Were you concerned with how Williams is doing?
I was paying a decent.
Oh, maybe.
I'm a Formula One fan.
I mean, I am too, but like I know myself and my, oh my gosh, I know my energies and I have to, y'all, she's drinking water and completely spilled out herself. It was so funny. No, but yeah, so, I mean, it's not even that. I can't find it interesting. I will pay just enough attention overall in the season, but like race by race, like I don't have that interest. And other people like you who are way more intelligent and have real time in this sport, like I know you care about all the different levels, like go for it. But for me, I focus my energies on the people I like, Lewis, and the people he's trying to beat.
That's fine. That's actually fine. Like, honestly, not everybody can be addicted to motor racing like me. It's normal. I would like to take this commercial break to remind you guys that Fabio Quartararo is doing a brilliant job in MotoGP with that Yamaha bike that is basically a dud. The Ducati is the better bike, and yet this man is dominating the championship and rode an absolutely brilliant race today. Fabio for the win! Back-to-back championships for El Diablo. Inshallah, fingers crossed. If Lewis can't do it this year, we gotta go with Fabio, guys. Hashtag El Diablo.
There we go. Hashtag El Diablo.
We can go back to. You need to actually. I feel like you would enjoy. You would enjoy MotoGP.
I don't know how to watch it. If I could.
As in, I'll send you a link.
All right, send me a link. Tell me when the races are going on, yeah, I'll watch. Okay. I'll watch
races. No, I don't. You'll be sleeping. I'll have to find you a rewatch link because they're usually like 4 p.m. for me, which is like 6, 7 a.m. for you. Yeah.
If it's 7 a.m., it's fine.
Yeah.
Are they like 2 hour? Are they like 2 hour races?
No, they're like 30 laps. So usually just an hour, maybe.
Oh, an hour? Okay.
An hour, maybe more.
If it's 7, I can probably.
Yeah. They don't seven, go 7 hours, or nowhere near close to 2 hours. They're definitely shorter than F1 races.
7 or 8 a.m. I can do because I just watch it like when I'm... I was hoping it was 2 because then even if I miss the first half, I can definitely catch the later half.
Yeah. Okay, no, I will see if they do like a rewatch, like a redo, and then I would like find that link for you.
Okay.
But yeah, MotoGP is really fun because you kind of feel, especially when they show the onboards, you kind of feel like you're falling over with them. Because obviously they don't have like the car around them or anything and like they're so close and like... At the braking zones, they kind of tip and their knees are basically grazing the track. It's brilliant. It's the adrenaline rush.
Anyways, my close friends was doing some like some amateur like bike racing.
Varun obviously does bike racing.
Yeah, like he had stuff.
Varun's amazing.
He had a race bike. He had a race bike, and he'd always wanted to do like a MotoGP thing like that. So he had a proper race bike, and he wasn't actual like. Racing series, but I think he recently just sold it. If I find photos of it, I'll send it to you. I never got a chance to go watch him race, but anyway, back to the back. Get that? The back of the grid. Anyway.
I feel like we should move on to, obviously, our favorite team.
Yeah.
Me and you are in agreement of this.
Yes, probably, ma'am.
The greatest team in Formula One history.
Oh, McLaren. Lord Jesus. Yes.
How did our babes McLaren do this weekend?
I mean, I don't... Norris really got the bad end of that stick.
Oh, Lord. Cackles in black female.
Yeah, Norris...
The Norris thing is, yeah, Norris had an absolutely dreadful weekend, and Ricardo still couldn't finish in the points, which is, for me, the funniest part of this weekend, because everybody has been harping on about how Ricardo has been doing so much better.
But he's bad? Still, question mark?
he's back, apostrophe, in parentheses, not.
As long as he's doing better, I don't care for the man. I just don't want him to be like poo poo. Even if they release him, I'd rather he goes on a I was getting better. I just needed more time, little timeline that he can like believe in himself, because man's been stuck in the mud. I mean, I feel like the mud he's been in has already frozen. He's like, he's not coming out. It's quicksand at this point. So. But yeah, I mean, he got 11.
I saw this thing that was like, oh, Ricardo's doing so much better, blah, blah, blah. See him finally embarrassing Norris. And then obviously Helen does this. Ricardo fans are delusional. That's all I have to say.
Embarrassing Norris. He's not embarrassing Norris.
It was like one race where he outqualified me, like he's embarrassing Norris. Lord.
And even in that race that he beat Norris, it wasn't like he actually, like, Norris is right next to you. He's behind you.
Wait, no, Ricardo, and yeah, like, exactly.
Last, was right, the last.
Yeah,
last.
He was like right behind him.
He was right there. That's not an embarrassment. And the team basically gave orders. I mean, I generally agreed with the orders, but like, it wasn't like he embarrassed Norris and Norris walked away defeated with his tail between his legs. Like, no, Norris was like, trying to be a little like Creighton, trying to pass you. And then this weekend, obviously, Norris is, he got very unlucky with that pit stop. But yeah, no, that's pretty funny. But I mean, Daniel Ricciardo, he didn't race terrible, which is sad.
Single time on the track. Like I'm not going to lie. Obviously, the McLaren had, obviously, not also this whole like, I'll qualify Norris and like, I'll race Norris this weekend. Norris was obviously on like having engine issues in quali, so switched to a slower engine in the race,
and
still Ricardo finished outside the points.
And still, the only reason why Norris was there was because he got a horrible pit stop. He probably still would have been behind him.
Oh my god! True. I even forgot about that.
Yeah, that's Ricardo the only reason to, why I Norris saw this is that thing far down.
That someone said it was like. Confirmed Ricardo is going to drive for McLaren next year, and then it goes, but will it be F1, FE, or IndyCar?
Oh my god, I don't even know if they do that. They just
bought Mercedes team in Formula E, so they and obviously,
you think Ricardo will go to Formula E?
No, I think IndyCar or NASCAR, I think is
you think he wouldn't leave. You think he wouldn't leave the sport and just go do other stuff?
NASCAR or IndyCar. That's the other stuff, isn't it?
No, be a watered-down version of Lewis. Just leave
He doesn't have the... I think he could do, like, something in America for a couple of years and then have the, like, quote-unquote clout to kind of...
Because he's on the board of, like, a few... Like, just go do the corporate...
He could retire and just be vibing. But I feel like we're racing drivers, especially when you haven't achieved as much success as you thought you would when you were younger, it's hard to kind of just quit the sport completely. You kind of... Because everybody obviously thinks they're going to be the next Senna, Schumacher, whatever, when you're a kid. And then you turn out to be the next Magnussen.
That's rude.
I'm sorry.
That was great. That was the
actually not Magnussen. I guess Magnussen is the next Martin Brundle or whatever. Okay, also, anywho. I need Martin Brundle to retire. That is just before we proceed. I need a commercial break to tell you guys, Martin Brundle should not be doing that grid walk anymore. It is the most cringy, uncomfortable thing I've ever watched in my life. It's just so uncomfortable. Like, why are you speaking? And like, he's like, hey, can
people, I speak people, to people, you? People love it. The fans love it.
What people? What fans?
They all do. I'm telling you. I just see compilations about it on YouTube. I'm trying to tell you, like, there are videos. Sorry, people just saying, look, like, how awesome Brundle is. So,
Red Bull.
Yes, Red Bull, ma'am. Gosh.
Red Bull. Like, as we said last week, I don't like to praise these people too much, so I don't want to hop on. Red Bull are the best team on the grid currently. Like,
that car is everything's ridiculous. Working for them.
But obviously, today's situation with Perez shows us that they still have reliability issues. So hopefully that will before Max in the next couple of races.
Yeah, when... In fact, talking about the Red Bull car, it reminds me something that Horner said about Mercedes' team last year, especially when we were getting to Spain, or just around that time. Because the Mercedes had better straight-line speed than the Red Bull, and Horner said, anyone can drive fast in a straight line. Like, it's all about the corners.
He said it in Jeddah, and then obviously,
yes.
Max.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was trying to say that Max, no, it's fine. He was trying to say
I
that
laugh
Max
like an African uncle that's been at the pub for like too long.
No, yeah, he was trying to say that Max was better than Lewis because Lewis has a faster car in the straight line, but when it comes to the more technical side, right, the whole kind of like technical versus I can just drive really fast straight. And now the Ferrari tends to be the better car in like low to medium speed corners. And the Red Bull is the straight line car. And I guarantee you, you'll never hear Horner coming out saying, yeah, no, it takes more skill to drive better.
In the slower corners. It's kind of like Enzo Ferrari's thing with like, if you have a good engine, nobody cares about aero. But no, I'm definitely like, I think Horner's a piece of shit. And I think obviously everything's going right for Red Bull right now. And like, obviously they do a little bit of bad luck. I think Perez got really unlucky this entire weekend because everything that happened kind of wasn't his fault. But as a conspiracy theorist in our group chat said, maybe Red Bull just fucked up Perez this weekend. So like his gap to Max would increase.
That's pretty funny. They're like, how dare you not give Max the toe last race? Boom.
Forgot that.
No race for you.
Forgot that it happened.
Let this be a reminder. You always toe Max, even if you have pace. No, I mean, there's not too much to say. Max drove fine. Honestly, to me, what is more telling was how, because we kind of alluded to this at the start, how well Sainz was driving, because Max, I think we can all agree Max is easily a better driver than Sainz. And I think we can agree that the Red Bull is the much better car. So the fact that Sainz is able to put out that much pace, it could just be the track, could just been Sainz having a good day. But I was actually shocked that Sainz is able, because Max did actually get out of DRS range with Perez, and I would assume, I mean, not Perez, Sainz, and I would have assumed that the team might have told him that, and so that's something he would want to, like, keep doing, but Sainz managed to get back into DRS and then cut it back even closer, so shout out to Sainz. I think he raced well. He just needed just more pace. Like, he didn't have the necessary skills to make a move, so he just needed a little bit more pace, and he would have been there. Anyway, moving on, I think perfect time to kind of get into Ferrari. Sainz also did actually have a chance, because I think on lap 68, Max, I think, went a little bit wide and his tail kind of got a little squirrely, and Sainz got way closer, but Sainz went really wide, really deep into the turn, and basically kind of killed his entire momentum, and from there he choked it. So he had a moment, and that was probably his only moment, and he kind of choked it there, and he was never going to get another chance back. So, but either way, he still drove well, so shout out to him.
I'm going to give you a question to ponder. If obviously, Leclerc was the one who was like in the position of Sainz. Do you think he would have won the race?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Because I think no.
Really? Interesting. Why?
Well, obviously, Leclerc has the stat where he's never overtaken for the race lead. So
okay, that's I don't think
he's never though. He's never.
No. I don't mean rude in a bad way. That's not a bad
thing. He's a pole to checkered flag kind of guy. Like, he's a grand slam just fitting. I'm either dominating or I'm crying in the background kind of guy.
Yeah.
But no, actually, fun fact, Leclerc got driver of the day, which I'm just like, yo, what?
Yeah.
What? This man was stuck behind all the drivers for like an eternity. And like, obviously, there was a lot of hype over like Leclerc starting from the back. And Leclerc fans on the timeline were like, yeah, this is his time. You know, Brazil 2021 is going to be upstaged.
Why do people just...
It was easy. Who is your daddy? Who is your daddy?
It's not just that they thought it's easy. Like, they really, I think people are really delirious and don't understand just how impressive, like, what Brazil was. Like Brazil and probably Qatar last year were probably two of Lewis's just most dominant races, where the pace he had far exceeded the car that he had. Qatar was a very boring race, but like, it was just, that's funny. She's basically saying they're smoking some crazy stuff. But like, Lewis's pace, again, when he went back to an older engine at Qatar last year, his pace, the team was like, yeah, we don't know. We don't know where this is. Like, we can't, our machines can't calculate where he's getting pace from. And so people just thinking that Charles is just going to go, even Lewis himself, as great as he is, cannot pull a Brazil out every weekend, because you really have to be in a completely another level, another mind frame. Like, you just have, like, your body is ready for it. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, yeah, that's wild. I think Charles just got it because
honestly, the same situation.
And people love recovery drive.
He's starting 20th. He has a new engine.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he only got fifth because of that last safety car.
Yeah.
Pure pace alone, he would have finished ninth at best.
Yeah.
Ninth at best. He had an awful rate. Yo, if we used to rate by like letter grades, E. Also, can we just address how Ferrari we need to talk to their strategists, because why is plan A never the plan you're going for? I have never heard them on the radio go, yeah, we're going plan A, plan B. It's always D, E, F, Z. They don't know A and B, their alphabet. It's always, yeah, sure, we're going to go plan D. What has gone wrong? Because this is not even a crazy race like that. What has gone wrong? What exactly was your plan A then? Like, you got to ask, like, what was your plan A? Because if in, like, a mediocre race, you're already switching to plan D, what has been happening the entire race? Like, I saw Nacho said, maybe they lent James AEIOU to Ferrari this weekend. But on a serious note, like, Ferrari has always been, like, awful at strategy. I remember when Vettel and Hamilton used to be in Championship 5, they would gift away races to Lewis. They would just be like, here's your red carpet, Lewis. You can't climb up to the podium, top step. No, Ferrari a mess. They're fucking mess. And like, no, if you hate Red Bull, like, you should hate Ferrari right now, because they're in no condition to win the championship. In zero condition.
I don't know what they're doing. I mean, it's a long season. Red Bull cars can fail more, and they can just bring upgrades that make them better. But as things stand, they're not going to win, not because they don't have the talent, but because they're just squandering everything. Like, Red Bull is another team. Like, the same way Esteban is maximizing on every single opportunity he's getting, Red Bull are doing the exact same thing. Like, they're not dropping the ball at any point. Any misfortune that happens to them, that's it. But they've not been in a good position and then just somehow threw it away. And maybe that might happen, right? Like, but till that time comes, like, they're doing exactly what they need to do, which is really, 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 really frustrating. But I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully Ferrari can kind of get the thing. No, but I think I think Charles would have been able to beat Max, because I don't think there's been a single moment this season where Sainz has had more pace than Charles. Like, outside of like a single lap qualifying thing
is, I'm not doubting his pace yet. I'm doubting his overtaking ability.
No, I go back to
Bahrain. But I get what you mean. Even Bahrain, though, like,
they went
Max
back and forth,
ended up DNFing. Like, if I feel like if Max hadn't DNFed, he would have won that race.
Maybe, but they also had a faster car.
That's the thing.
And they do still have a faster car. I'm just going off of the fact that if Sainz today could be that close, maybe whatever tires they had were working better. And
but like also,
I think in that same
Charles
position,
was struggling to pass Esteban. So
fair enough. Actually, that's a great point. But didn't was Esteban in a DRS train or no? I can't remember.
Mm-mm,
it might have been.
Wasn't.
No,
he wasn't, because
okay.
He was like 10 seconds behind Russell.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-mm, he wasn't in a DRS. Like, I get it, but like also, I don't rate Charles's ability in overtaking. Like, I rate him as a driver, but like, I don't think his overtaking is like his best.
I think overtaking a different driver is very different than overtaking Max in the fastest car. But Charles did actually have some dope overtakes. Like, he fed so many dummies today. Like, actual. And don't forget, even back in Bahrain, Charles basically was on the TV talking about how he was just feeding Max dummies and Max just kept biting the bullet. So I think Charles' biggest detriment is the fact that at any given moment, he just might spin or just do something stupid. I think that's his biggest issue.
I think Charles' biggest detriment is he's taking too many lessons from Sebastian Vettel, because it's like playbook. It's playbook.
Yes.
Playbook
yes.
Level shit.
When he was Vettel's teammate, I think he learned the wrong lesson.
I didn't say it. It's not me. Someone said it in it. Not me, but someone said it in it.
I agree with it. I didn't say it, but I agree with it, but I didn't say it. No, yeah. So I mean, anywho, Charles, I mean, I think Charles, I give Charles a higher grade. I don't think he was the best. I think the reason he got driver of the day is purely because he went from 20th to 5th. But he really was stuck behind cars. I give his race a B just because he did manage to get it up there. Luck or not, he managed to get up there, and it wasn't like especially good, it wasn't especially bad. Sainz, shout out to Sainz. Sainz did really well. So anywho, we can quickly close on Mercedes. I don't think there's too much to talk about.
Mess these Benz. Okay, so I think you should have said what you have to say before I like monopolize the conversation.
You sure?
Yeah, go ahead. You go first.
Yeah, no, so with Mercedes, I don't have too much to say about them. I think they came in this weekend, they did what they needed to do. We already quickly talked about them briefly when we're talking about qualifying, but they had their car starting of the weekend was no less than a shitbox, and they managed to get it to a place where it was rather consistent, and Lewis genuinely looked happy. Like, obviously, the podium makes you more happy, but he looked happy with the car that he was at least able to drive, especially from where it came. So I think they were very consistent. Nothing, they weren't amazing. They weren't terrible. So no, good job, Mercedes. And hopefully, like, we get now like pace improvements, not just consistency and not a terrible ride. And also, let's not have weekends where we're basically at the bottom and have to like, because I'm sure those were a lot of sleepless nights and hours in their hotel rooms thinking, pondering, and trying to figure out what they could possibly do from that Friday till race day, what they could possibly do to the car to get it, or not even race day, qualifying, to what they could do to get it in a position where it can actually be contending to be the third best car. So anyway, that's all.
Okay. Mess this Benz, Petronas. All I want to say is,
I don't even think you guys have brought a good car. All I know is
you guys are paying Sir Lewis Carl Davidson Hamilton, son of Anthony, brother to Nicholas,
money. And that is why you're getting results like this.
Yes.
Because Lewis is sacrificing so much to improve the development of this car, allowing that fraudulent Toto's robot to be getting that his fraudulent start of top five in every race this season. That's all Lewis. That's all Lewis. Lewis is the reason.
Yep.
And he's consistently putting in the hard work. He's showing his emotions. You know, sometimes he's sad, sometimes he's happy. He's going through the ringer just so you guys have a good car. And the least you can do every weekend is to deliver performances like this weekend. Like, if his setup is going to be a bad setup, like, if he's going to just be going in with, like, a negative, just a detriment from the beginning of the weekend to the end, the least you can do is have his pit stops be on point, have his strategies be on point. As we have seen this weekend, it's not that difficult. It's not that difficult. Like, you need to consistently deliver, because you can't have the same person who's sacrificing so much be the same person that's consistently getting shafted. And today, I'm very convinced, if George had not come on the radio and been like, oh, guys, like, I don't think my tires, are we sure my tires are going to make it? They would have left him out, and he would have ended up ahead of Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they consistently just make decisions that, like, just make no sense. Make no logical sense. But today was a good day, so we're going to be happy. We're going to celebrate. Like, I literally shed tears, as I said at the top of the episode. And I just think we need to continue pressing their necks and delivering consistency. We can't just accept mediocrity. We need to want greatness, because greatness is what we are on the brink of.
Nick Minaj. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, seriously, like, we need to be very serious as a team. Like,
no,
we need to get their shit together. And I think this weekend was a positive step. And, like, I guess if you remove Monaco and Baku and you just do Spain and then this weekend, we're like kind of on an uptrend. But, like, obviously next time coming around is Silverstone, and I don't want to see anything but a W. If Max wins in Silverstone, I'm gonna be very upset.
He's gonna win Silverstone.
No, I need Leclerc. If Lewis cannot win, I need Ferrari to win, because at least we've seen Ferrari win in Silverstone in the last couple of years. But after everything that happened last year, I can't have Max winning, because there's going to be so many annoying people on this panel.
Another beautiful reason why I'm not on Twitter. Thank God.
We don't need that.
But yeah, no. So
on Twitter,
someone
called Roy followed me and was like replying to my tweets yesterday, and I was like, oh my God, it's Roy back. But then it was not.
Oh wow. And something you were mentioning, and I really did want to talk about it as well, or just quickly mention it briefly, was that a lot of people always keep on complaining about how Lewis is going to do a fast car and he didn't do any development of it, which just practically is not true, because every single moment, every single day that you're driving that car, it is being developed, right? Even if it is not even if when you walked in, it was somebody else developed that car, from then on, if you are that main driver to where it goes in the future, if it's getting better, it is directly as a result of your efforts on that car.
Yeah,
and this year, more than any other year, we have it thrown in our face, because the team have said they are driving two different cars, and George is driving the setup that the team and the engineers have all kind of like run their mathematical formulas and blah, 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 and this is what you're going to do. And then Lewis is doing the, hey, I'm going to try all these offshoot things. Let's think outside the box, whatever that is. So when we go into our FP1s, FP2s, FP3s, and then even quality in the main race, I'm going to run a slightly different setup, and then we'll kind of like synthesize and get to a good place near the end of that weekend. And so Lewis is very specific, like kind of you're saying, he is taking a hit in his own thing, and that's allowed George to be very consistent in a lot of his pace. And so when this car becomes good, because I'm going to choose to have that faith and hope and trust, like I will believe in Lewis until like he's completely done. So like when this car becomes good, when this car is amazing and phenomenal and is taking it to Red Bull and Ferrari, it will be because of Lewis Hamilton and not because of George. It will be literally because of Lewis Hamilton, because he is the one who is actually pushing those boundaries. And I have no doubt that a lot of the things he's done, they've been able to cross off things like, hey, this is not doing anything for the car. And I think, hey, we tried this, this. So I think without a doubt, he's always developed that car. And this year, we're actually seeing it in real time happening. And so it'll be super dope when this car gets there. And no one can ever say this wasn't, well, they're going to say it. But we will have evidence that it is because of Lewis Hamilton.
We'll still have evidence and they'll still chat shit. Like,
yes, but at least for me, it's nice to be able to know in real time what's happening, right? We know development's happening, but at least now we know when we're going to the weekends, they're having different setups. And so real time, we're seeing development. We just haven't seen the fruits of it. And if we get a good car before the end of the season that can compete with them, we'll be able to be like, oh, wow, like throughout the season. And maybe I think with their YouTube videos, Mercedes, AMG, Petronas, F1 team.
Mercedes Benz.
Maybe they'll do a breakdown of kind of how like the way in which the development kind of went through and the difference. Like I would really enjoy kind of, I almost wish that they could say like, hey, this weekend Lewis's car did a little bit more this and this other thing did a little bit more that. That'd be kind
of
cool. I
think maybe at the end of the season, like right now, they don't want to like reveal.
Yeah, exactly. I understand why they can't, but it would be cool just in general. Anywho, I think let's get to the final stretches of the show. So, ma'am, who is your star of the day?
My star of the day is... Guan Yuzhou.
Yeah, I like that.
Decent job holding the people behind him and yep. Do the decent job like putting pressure on the people ahead of him so that like if there was any sort of situation, he could take advantage of that. So yeah, Guan Yuzhou is my star of the day.
Very nice.
Star of the day. My Kenyan co-host.
I like that answer. And to be different, I think I will give it to... Well, I wish it could have been more. I'll give it to Carlos Sainz. I think he deserves it. I've never rated Carlos Sainz extremely highly, and not because...
Oh, really? I was never... I'm so shocked. I would have never guessed that.
No. I like Carlos, and I thought he's good. But, like, I feel like all those posts saying, oh, no one ever gives Carlos Sainz respect. I've always just like Carlos Sainz. Like, he's clearly better than Lando. Lando's never won anything over him. Like, and people love to, like, hype up Lando. So, but no, I think he did really well, especially this season. He's outside of bad luck, his pace has been non-existent. His strategy has been non-existent. And so to see him actually take it to Max, who I personally think Max is much better than him, that was impressive. So I'll give it to Sainz. Okay. And then bum of the day.
There's a lot of options. Today was an awful day for so many people. I don't want to go the easy route and go with someone who DNF, so I will go with Kevin Magnussen. He just had an awful race all around. Like, obviously he had the issue in the beginning where he had to like pit and change his wing and his tires, but
entirely his fault.
Exactly. Yeah, and he obviously never recovered from that. So I'm gonna go K-Mag.
And I am going with the low-hanging fruit of Yuki Tsunoda.
Oh, I thought you'd say Gasly, because
absolutely
Lord.
Not. No, nope. Yuki also Tsunoda. Had a
dreadful weekend. I feel like Yuki had a great weekend as well, up until the obviously Yuki that he did in the war.
Yeah. How in Ain't no excuse in that. He gets bum of the day very easily for me. Okay. I didn't want it.
I'm not gonna judge. I feel like I always criticize your decisions on stuff that are bum day. This week I'm okay with both those choices.
That man deserved it.
Fraud Watch. So who is still on Fraud Watch for us?
We currently
say Mick Latifi.
Mm-hmm.
The current choices are Mick Latifi, Sainz, Gasly, Ricciardo, K-Mag. I nominate we remove Sainz.
Oh, yeah, Sainz can go. Sainz can
go. He's had three decent weekends in a row.
Yeah, so Sainz can go for
last
sure.
Last week's DNF wasn't his fault. So if you do Monaco plus this weekend, he's had two decent races in a row. I nominate we remove Sainz.
Mm-hmm.
And I nominate we add Yuki. Just because, like, I feel like we can't ignore what happened today. Like,
Yeah. Okay.
You crashing it's just that bad. Into the wall is just kind of, it's a no. Like, it's not even, even if it's an incident that's your fault, that's better. Because, like, it involves somebody else. But you crashing into the wall on your own, it's a no-no. Like, it's unacceptable.
The way Gasly is on here because of how he held up Lewis that one race, that absolutely
that was you, by the way. I'm going to point out that that was Roy. Roy, that race was just like, I don't like Gasly anymore. I'm not supporting him. It's not my guy. Obviously, this weekend he had a dreadful race. That's why I just, like, we live him in. So our current official Black AF1 fraud watch list is Son of Seven, obviously.
Mick.
Canadian fraud, Latifi, Gasly, Ricardo, K-Mag, and Yuki. Obviously, K-Mag's also here because of when he crashed out Lewis. The fact that Esty's not here from his tangle with Lewis in Monaco, and Baku is a miracle. Or was it Monaco? Monaco. It's a miracle. Because we're out here like, if you touch Lewis, you're on fraud watch.
Yeah, honestly, like, we really gave him a huge pass. I feel like it's because Lewis,
cause, like, we love him like that, no. We love him like that, though. We love Esty.
It was like, it's like, it's okay, Esty. He needed to get his he needed to get his gloves out and fight a little bit. But I feel like 90% of the time he moves over anyway.
What is your star of the week / moment of the week?
So there was something happened this week that it completely slipped my mind, and I've been trying to remember it. So if I do, I'll have one. But when I do remember it, I'm going to mention it next week on that podcast. Mm-hmm. Something happened. I remember I was just living my life, and when somebody did something just really wonderful and nice, and when it happened, I immediately thought of the podcast. And, this is going to be my star of the week, and I forgot to write it down. For me, it's going to be like a thing. So obviously, I went to New York. Not obviously, you know. That I went to New York this weekend.
I do. I am jealous.
Yeah, so... So my cousin is an actor. She's actually really, really good. And she's in a play. And so I went to that. It was a Black play. Pretty much all Black cast. And it was very, very cool. And it was kind of just a commentary on just kind of Blackness. Especially kind of like... in a setting of a school, but more to the point, right? It was great. I think she was telling us, when you come, like, it's okay. You can be ignorant. You can laugh. Like, just be loud. Do whatever. So it was a really fun, enjoyable time. Because I'd never seen her act. She went to school with my sister, grad school with my sister. And so I'd never seen her act. I think my sister's seen her, and it was great. And she did this one thing, and that caught me and my sister off guard, and we were just cracking up, dying laughing. And so after we went out and hung out with some of her castmates, and they were telling us how they knew our corner was like the loudest and funniest, and like they loved it because like sometimes the energy is dead. So like me and my sister would sometimes whisper to each other because it was a really small, intimate theater. I'll send you some photos. And so like every once in a while, certain things would happen. Me and my sister might like whisper to us, and they could kind of hear us. And they said that we kept making them break character a few times, and they were just kind of, when they're kind of doing their own thing, and they loved it. They said they wish all the shows are kind of just like that. So it was great. So we went out drinking, enjoyed, and obviously you saw some of the photos from out. So no, it was a really good weekend. So my cousin and her cast was, also she's gonna be on an HBO show that starts up on July 21st.
So what's the name?
It's Issa Rae's new show. It's called Rap Shit.
But oh, like, I know that. Like,
yeah. So she's going to be on that.
I'm up to date on everything Issa Rae, okay?
Yeah.
I'm so the she's president on, she's on, of Issa Rae's unofficial fan.
Yeah. She's on it. I remember she used to send some photos while she was shooting. Like,
so is this your same cousin that like I had like the long-ass FaceTime?
Yes. That's her. That's her. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Guys, side note, like, Bruce cousin is amazing. So basically, after like Batman came out, like I was FaceTiming Roy, and he was like, "Oh, his cousin went him." I think they bunch of them went to go watch it, and then I was like, "Oh, I really liked it. This is my favorite Batman." And she literally goes from background, "What did she like about?" Because Roy hadn't gone, he was taking suggestions of where he should go. Obviously, his cousin had gone, like, "Don't go, it's awful." And then Roy was talking to me, and Roy told her, like, "Oh, by the way, my friend loved what did she like about it? Give her the phone. And then me and her ended up on like a 40-minute FaceTime call on like everything. Like, we went beyond Batman, like all the rules of like Black people and media and every, like, we had a whole ass lot. She is amazing and I'm rooting for her success. Like, I can't wait to watch this. I can't wait. I was gonna watch anyways because Issa Rae, but now that you've said obviously she's in it, I'm gonna hype it up on my Insta, on my timeline. I'm so happy. I'm so happy for her. Send her all my love. Like, yeah. Rose family is now my family at this point. Like,
fucking no, they're all dope. And her boyfriend is also super dope. He's a really good actor. He's in some big things too. So
oh, she obviously, she told me how like they went to the movie together and she fell asleep.
Yeah. So no, cool. So that was a highlight. And it was a quick trip. Flew out Friday morning. Came back Saturday morning as well. So yeah. That was my moment/star okay. of the week.
Obviously, mine's not gonna make. Obviously, Roy's was like this whole dramatic story that was really great. And mine's just about to be so fucking silly. Because mine is the announcement that Serena Williams is playing a Wimbledon baby. That had me so excited. Like, literally, tears coming out of my eyes. Serena hasn't played since last year's Wimbledon, where she had a nasty ankle injury because of the grass. I still blame Wimbledon. And I'm so happy. She's playing doubles at Eastbourne this week with aunts. And she's playing singles next week at Wembley. Oi! I'm literally shaking my ass out of excitement. Like, I'm so happy for Serena. And I'm so glad, like, she gets to come back on tour. Who knows if, like, this is, like, I feel like every time I watch Serena, it's such a fucking massive, huge as fuck privilege, because like, is this the last time I'm gonna watch her? She's the greatest tennis player in the history of all time, one of the greatest athletes I've ever watched in my life, and she's such a fucking inspiration. And her little family is so cute, her Alexis, a little Olympia, and Quay Quay, and her little dog Christopher Chipra found down. Like, oh, I'm obsessed. So yeah, my moment of the week was the little bundle, was the little like moment of joy that like Serena is coming back on tour. And like, honestly, it moved me in ways like, if you don't watch tennis, you probably wouldn't understand. And yeah, that's my moment of the week. And yeah, thank you so much everybody for joining us on the roller coaster that is Black AF1 weekly podcast. And can't wait to talk to you guys next week. And we love you guys so much. Roy?
Adios.